I just want to mention something before we begin. John, could you put that slide up there, please? Just before service, I went to John. I said, during my study for this lesson, I came across a little humor there, and it was like, things you never hear in church. And a lot of them were just, well, rude, you know what I mean? But there was one that cracked me up, and it said, "Gee, song minister, I love it when you sing songs that I've never heard before." And you never hear that in church. But you know something? John, I had never heard that song, Ancient Words. I just want you to know that. But that's good. I just sang it for the first time, but I found that very meaningful. Not just meaningful to me, but it so ties in with the lesson today. Isn't that the way the Spirit works? You know, sometimes you hear something in Sunday school, it reappears in a sermon. Sometimes you hear things in the music, and you go, wow, I was just studying that at home. And that's the way God works. He's constantly watching. He's constantly teaching. So that we see this pattern of things that's happening. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today, a pattern. And so when you're asked, like I was, like 2 days ago, "Jim, I'm sick, can you preach?" "Well, yeah, sure, I'm ready to go." But over the years, when you've been preaching for years and years, you remember the times that you first started teaching and the other brothers that you tried to help learn to teach classes and sermons, etc. And there's a common question. How do you choose a subject? What should I teach about, you know? And there's a lot of answers to that, and you try to bring them up to understand it. And one of the things you can do is you look around, you see what's going on in the church and what's going on in life and how they affect each other. And you say, "Gee, I can preach about that." Or you'd say, "Well, you know, we haven't had a study in this particular book before or on this particular person before. Let me do that." But you know, one of the things that I find exciting in trying to find something that just spurs us on just a little bit more than just encourages us to show God is listening, like the little convenience of the song there, is when you're studying and a verse or a passage suddenly comes out and speaks to you in a way it's never done before. Sometimes when you look at the scripture and say, "Today, that means more to me, not just because of my circumstances, but I looked a little deeper, and it means something more today than it did last week." That's the kind of study I'll be doing today. I like this scripture right here. We're doing it, 2 Timothy, right now in our Sunday school class. And as I was reading across this, I said, I'm going to have to skip over this passage in Sunday school class, because when Scott called, I said, there's the subject I need to do. I really want to do this. I'm going to read this again, but I want you to look at certain things that are like little things that recur. If they happen again and again and again, it's like those rumble strips when you go through apartment complexes or down the test strips on the highway. It's like, if that's there, it's probably trying to tell us something. Here we go. "And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher." This is Paul assuring Timothy. "That is why I'm suffering as I am," because he's in prison and he knows he's about to be killed. "Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." And we talked about that part this morning in class. Because Paul entrusted something to God. He entrusted that the truth that he believed in that came from Jesus himself was the truth, and that he could base his whole life on that. So he's trusting God and say, "Here, take care of this until the end, and I'll see what comes of that little seed." But here is the subject for today. "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." There's several things here that are extremely important. And what you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. saying, hey, you heard it from me, you teach this as well, others are going to learn it. So that's one thing. But he says, do it with faith and love in Christ Jesus. So we ought to do this with faith in Christ Jesus, with love in Christ Jesus. So don't just go out there and command people. Don't just go out there and instruct them and not care that about the people that you're instructing. There's a purpose in this, and it's Christ Jesus. He says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. What's that? The hope of heaven. The salvation that he died for. What Paul was passing on to Timothy to teach that church there, saying, this is the foundation of everything. He went there to teach, but he also went there to correct false doctrine. So he's saying, look, let's rebuild this. Let's re-clear this off. Not that we rebuild in the sense that we change the foundation, but let's get all this junk off of there. It's not the way the guys did yesterday, you know, tearing down the walls outside there with their hard work and stuff. It's like, let's bring it back to what we really know it ought to be. Well, that's what they did, what Timothy was doing, going back to Ephesus and trying to clear out the false doctrine, and then have people who needed to depend on this church to be sound and strong in the faith and in good teaching. So what does he do? Well, the thing we're going to center in on today is this pattern. I mean, this phrase, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Now, he could have said, keep the sound teaching. Today, looking a little deeper, we're going to see that we probably ought to recognize that word pattern in there is probably in there for a reason. So that Paul wasn't just telling him, keep this same teaching. Teach this same thing. Make sure that we're all consistent in what we're teaching. That's important. But as I was studying this, that word pattern stuck out. So why do you put that in there? What pattern of sound teaching is he talking about? Well, one of the things that I really wanted to point out was he starts out in verse 11 with this word gospel, the good news, the truth in Christ that was the source of our salvation. And then he says, what I've entrusted. What did Paul entrust to God? The truth of the gospel, the salvation through Jesus Christ. So he's mentioning, you know, I mentioned the rumble strips. Here he's saying it. Of this gospel I was appointed. And he said, he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him. There he's talking about the word again. And then he ends up with that down there where he says, guard the good deposit. What deposit? He said, I've done everything I can in this life to make sure that that's going to happen. I've entrusted to him my obedience to that gospel that he was talking about. And so, he says, what you've heard from me. And we talked about that in class this morning. What you've heard from me. Several times in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, he mentions, what you've heard from me, pass this on. In 1 Corinthians 25, we looked at it this morning about believe in me, follow me as I follow Christ. When we read the Lord's Supper, we always go to 1 Corinthians 11, and we talk about what I received, I passed on to you also. There's this passing on. The idea that the gospel stays alive, and it wouldn't die. It wouldn't die if it was not passed along. The point is, we would not be doing our part in it if we didn't live it and by passing along. And so the gospel is given to us, but not so that we have like a treasure that we could store away and not let anybody know we have. You know, this isn't Oak Island. We've got a gospel and a treasure that's available to all. Now, some people are not as good at telling it to others as some are. But you know, your life and your character shows. If you try to mold your character to what God's character is, it will show. You will be different, for sure. So you and I just live everything that God has given us depending on that gospel and trying to let every action, every decision be the kind of thing that says, yeah, but I know something different. I've learned something, and everything I say and do should reflect a little bit of that. I love because Jesus loves. I work because Jesus worked hard. Those who followed him worked hard. I suffer because people like Paul and Jesus suffered. But I don't think anything of it, as Bruce brought up in class this morning. That suffering isn't because we're supposed to suffer or we didn't earn heaven. It's because the suffering is going to be there. But through suffering, Christians show that the circumstances of this world are not what we worry about. You know, we have peace, hope, joy, in spite of circumstances, not because of it. That's why he doesn't say happiness. He says joy. Well, these are the kind of things that he's talking about. But let's get back to that idea, peace as a pattern of sound teaching. Well, Timothy was going in there to teach that church and remind them of the teachings that came from Jesus. He was going in there to correct the false teachings and help bring those around who would, expelling those who just wouldn't change, etc., so that he'd be left with a church that taught the right things. And so you could say, okay, he went there to help them keep sound teaching. But what I'm trying to share with you this morning that came to me while I was studying this was that the sound teaching that Paul wanted Timothy to follow is a pattern. In other words, think of a quilt. Think of a quilt. The little pieces that you sew together are called blocks. And from the earliest days in America, women have been making quilts. And I was reading a story about how back in the 1700s, women made quilts, and the patterns that they sewed into those quilts came out of the Bible. Now, you would look at that and you go, I don't see a picture of so-and-so there, but they had the woes of Job, they called one block. That's what somebody thought of to put in there when they thought of that. And there were other ones, and the list goes on and on. But the point is that they wanted to give a gift. It was a handmade gift. And they took these blocks, and they said, this is what it represents. I hope when I give it to you, these things stand out to you as well, and you will remember them, much as the gospel tells us over and over and over again. Pass it on and remember these things. But what do you need in order to build a quilt? Now, I'm not going into all the details about, all right, it has to be one layer, then the batting in the middle, and then another layer, and all sew together. Point is, to make a quilt, you need blocks. To make a quilt, you need strong thread to hold it all together. And there's usually a border. A border to hold all the blocks in. Well, we have our borders. The commands of God are like a quilt. There's a border. It says, don't go beyond this. All right? But everything you need to know is contained within this. Just kind of like the Bible. Everything you need to know, there it is. It's going to set some borders for you. And then in between those borders, there's going to be everything you need to know to be like God. And that's the goal. We are saved so that we can live with God. And the only way we can live with God is to be as holy as God. Can't do it here, but together in Christ we take on His righteousness and we are allowed to live with God. But that's because we're learning to be like God, not just do the things God says. Here's my point. When He says pattern, the commands of God are not separate. You can't make a quilt because you have 200 blocks of pattern. Try covering yourself up and keeping warm at night with 200 blocks of pattern. Can't do it. You can't say, I have a collection. Isn't this wonderful? Yes, but this is a quilt museum. You can't enter that here. But these are quilt pieces, and I've got them all. They're not a quilt. They all work together. The point is that the pattern of commands that we're instructed to learn and that Timothy was being instructed to pass on, he was to understand that these things are together. You can't learn to love Jesus if you can't learn to sacrifice for one another. You can't learn to love Jesus if you don't have unity together without all the divisions and fighting yourself. So unity is love. Sacrifice is love. Humbling yourself is love. Okay, so what about other things? All the commands of God are tied this together this way. And the reason is because every one of those instructions are not meant to come down to us as a type of commands that come from a commanding officer and you better do it or you're expelled. They come down from God because He's a Father. He wants His children to grow up to be like Him because it's a good thing to be. Being like your Father is a good thing to be. Now, some of you, you know, had less than perfect fathers. I did. I understand that. But we have one Father who is perfect. A quilt is made up of those things together. And you take all these commands, and once you see the pattern it builds, only when you put the blocks together, that's where you see the character of God, the desires of God. You see the face of God. And so that's what we do, is we try to imitate God, obeying these commandments. But, you know, if you love your brother, and you say, you need to obey this command, Wayne. Okay. You know, that's kind of like, if that's our solution, that's kind of like taking one of those blocks and saying, when you go to bed tonight, Wayne, here, put this on you. That brother over there is sinning. Here, get familiar with this. That sister's hurting. Here, make sure you take this. I hate to say it, but that one command alone is useless. Every command of God, learning to love, sacrifice, care, comfort, all of those things are tied together. Why? Because they're all parts of God's character. You can't just take the ones you want and leave the rest. What kind of quilt would it be if I gave you a quilt and it had missing blocks all over the place? That's the way God's instructions are. That's the way God's character is. He doesn't give you just enough to get by. He doesn't give you part of who He is. He teaches everything about who He is. It says, this will cover you. Like the blood of Jesus, this will cover you. I know you're 2,000 years in the future from Jesus, but His blood is still forgiving people. I know that your sins are dark, a lot darker than any people in His time committed that we remember, but His blood will cover you. So the same thing is when we're washed and we're in Jesus, we take on the character of Jesus who has the character of God. So these commands are, that Timothy was to pass on, they're not just a set of commands. He could have written a book, and Paul could have written a book, done away with Timothy, said, here, send it to the church, obey the law, or get out. But he didn't. He sent a very heartfelt letter to Timothy. And he said, this is a pattern. What pattern? Same thing anybody else uses. If you know somebody who knits or crochets, I remember what my mom did. First thing she did was go buy a pattern. Well, what was that for? Don't you know what you're going to do? I know what I want to do. But this pattern shows me how to do it. How to make sure that it turns out looking like what I want. You know, all that knit one, purl two stuff. And all that, go this way, turn. And then you get the pattern. And everybody who follows the pattern would end up with the same quilt, blanket, whatever. It would be the same because it followed the same pattern. And that's what we're to do. Follow this pattern of sound teaching. All of us understanding. You see, you can't just know something about the Bible and say, I'm a Bible scholar. I always am reminded of this when I see shows on TV that are supposedly historical and they touch on biblical matters, etc. People love to talk about, well, we found the Ark, or we found the cup, and the Holy Grail and all this. And we know where the Ark is. I was watching that the other day, and the Ephesians, people in Ephesus today, are saying, we have the Ark. And we're not letting you look at it, we're not letting you have it, but we got it. That's the Ark of the Covenant, and you're not allowed to see it. We took it, and we brought it here. Now, I mean, if you knew just a little bit about the Bible, you go, ooh, Ark of the Covenant, that's a biblical phrase. And you say, well, it went somewhere after the biblical times. Now, I'd have to go back and research and find out if something changed, but my thought was, if you touched it, how come you're not dead? I'm sorry, that kind of cuts through it. You know what I mean? If you know that those kind of things were written in the Bible, that even some good man who thought he was doing something right was struck dead by God for touching it when he was told not to, well, stealing the Ark of the Covenant, so, you know, it's like, you got the Loch Ness Monster in the way in there too, do they? So, you know, people just want to make all these claims. But when you know the pattern of sound teaching, and not just some teaching, you can hear the falsehoods, you can hear the deviations, you can hear the things that fall short of God's instructions. That's kind of what I wanted to impress upon us today, is that God's heart is in the pattern of teaching. Not just his mind, not just that finger, but God's heart is in that quilt that is the gospel that saves us all. And you can't just make do with choosing the blocks that you want and saying, I'll take these. But it's not just because you're stealing from the Bible when you leave things out. It's because if you're a Christian and you understand the gospel, your goal is to be like him. And if you leave anything out, it would be, since I brought Dwayne up, let me just give him a good side here. Dwayne says, you know, you said that you were going to imitate me. And I saw you go over there and say some things I wouldn't say. And teach some things I wouldn't teach. Do some things I wouldn't do. Would you please quit telling people that you're imitating me? That's what happens when part of the description is missing. We have to imitate God in the full, fully covered by this gospel and this truth, this pattern, the pattern of sound teaching, not just some teaching. Because this church could have some teaching similar to any church down the road. And even if you only chose the churches of Christ, congregations around here are teaching the commands, but probably pretty much the same. But what I'm saying is, what I discovered when I was doing this lesson yesterday was, keep as the pattern. That means that pattern will last. Like the song that John said, Ancient Words. The key thing that touched my heart about that is, in America, we tend to think of things as ancient, as old, as passed away, useless, no longer relevant. Other countries know better, and the point of that song is ancient words, words not that have passed away, but words that have endured. The gospel has endured. No one has been able to disprove it. No one has been able to destroy it. It lives, and it lives in you, and it lives in me. And that's why it lives. Again, like I said before, it's not that it would die if we didn't believe it. The truth is still the truth. But where would people see it? It would die for us if we didn't believe it and follow it and practice it. And others would have to come in and pick it up and say, and we'll show the world what God's character is. We'll show them the pattern. And so, like blocks in a quilt, so are we. You could relate it to the commands, but you could also relate it to like when the scripture talks about you are building blocks built into the church. So we are a wall. We are part of a building that God is building. But you have to build it the way He would build it. And you have to be the thing that He created you to be. So that's all. Today I just wanted you to think. Are you following the pattern? Or are you just carrying around a lot of blocks in your pocket? Live the pattern. Because the pattern is Jesus. The pattern is God. And you can't say the pattern is right. If you tore off a corner and threw it away, you'll never finish. And if not to finish this race, it's fatal. Spiritually fatal. So do you have the pattern? Do you know the pattern? Do you know what we're talking about? If you haven't picked up the pattern in your life, then you haven't followed what God wanted you to be, what He created you to be. So we're going to sing a song. And if you don't know what the pattern is, and you said, Jim, John, Bruce, Bill, I need to know what that pattern is you talked about. You come forward during the song. We'll talk to you about the pattern. It shows the faith of Jesus in the quilt, so to speak. But remember that all these commands work together. They don't work against each other. They don't get sewn over top of each other. But together they make a quilt that functions like the cover and protection that it was meant to be for us. And so is the gospel. Would you stand as we sing?
And we walk with the Lord.